Blog Talk Radio.
When I was a little girl,
and your program is the Old Ship of Zion. Your host and moderator, hallelujah, is Overseer Janice Ward. I am so delighted to be able to come back across these skyways and skyways and airways, yes, bringing unto you the divine word of truth as I know it, hallelujah to be. And I just want to welcome all of you on tonight, all of my listeners, hallelujah, all of my first-time listeners. I want to welcome the Kingdom Assembly. I don't know, look like my thoughts are, I'm just lost. But I want to welcome my Kingdom Assembly. I want to welcome my colleagues, business colleagues. I want to welcome my kinship family. And I want to welcome also our first-time listeners. So I want to welcome all of you to the Old Ship of Zion. Hallelujah. Where the Spirit of the Lord is going on. And I just want you to get a good seat. I want you to get your chip and your dip. Whatever you want to sip, and allow me to bring unto you the divine word of truth. And I will be with you. I'm scheduled to be with you an hour and a half. And, but, you know, it's just really up to God how long I'll be here. But I'll be here for the duration. So I want you just to get all your digital devices. I want you to get all your toys, is what I call them, because we can't seem to manage in life without them. So I know that it is a part of our central being, a part of our livelihood. And so I just want you to bring all of your toys, all of your gadgets. I want you to bring your smartphone, your iPhone, your tablet. If you have a desktop computer, bring it or go to it. So you can just come as you are. You don't have to be beautiful and glamorous. You don't have to have on your three-piece, your two-piece, and all of that good stuff. You don't even have to get in your automobile and drive anywhere. All you have to do is just gather in the private or your domain sector. Hallelujah. You know, God has made it that way for us to unite and congregate across this planet in order to get his message out. You know, the message is Jesus. It's Jesus in the day. It's Jesus at night. Jesus in the morning, and I tell you, it's just Jesus all day long was the old hymn that they used to sing at the church. They used to say, you know, it's Jesus in the morning and Jesus in the noonday. So we know that it's Jesus is the season. Jesus is the reason why you and I and us are in existence right here and right now, in this hour, in this moment, in this minute, in this second, in this hour, as I have already far stated. So I want you to know that God is the reason that I'm here. I would not take out of my time to be here in any other reason but by God himself. Because, you know, if I was still where I was, I would presumably be in a club. I would be in a club. I would be maybe on my front porch in my living area with me a glass of Remy Martin. You know, but I tell you, it's just so awesome how God will transform you and I. He will transform our lives and what God will have us to be, you know. And so because God has moved the old me and replaced it with a newer me, then I no longer go to the bars. I don't no longer go to the clubs, what I guess you call them, the clubs that the guys hang out. I don't know what they call them now, but I used to attend the clubs where the guy would have on the G-string, they call it, you know, and we'd be putting money in his underwear and all that stuff. But, you know, since God has changed me, he changed me not only on the outside, but God changed the inner core. And so that is letting you know that you have been changed, because the places that you used to go, you don't have a place, I mean, you don't have a desire to go to those places anymore. Why you want to say over say what? Why you don't go to that club anymore? Why you don't go to that Jew joint, that honky tonk that you used to once, you know, go to? Because God has changed me. And so the mindset that I had then, I don't have that mindset now. I have the mindset to walk into the church of the Lord. May it be a tent, may it be on the corner, may it be under the bridge. I can get wherever God is. You know what I'm saying? I can get in the temple. I can get in a cathedral. But I can get on any level that the feast of the Lord is going down. I can get there. You know, I can get on whatever level that I need to be on in order to bring God's word and to bring God into view. Because it's all about God. It's not about overseer work, but it's about God. It's about God that I exist and you exist right here and right now in this hour. On this, let me see, I think we are now into Saturday morning. So I now can say that we are in a new day and a new dawning. We are now in May the 19th, 2018 is where we are right now. May the 19th, 2018 is where we are. And so we have left Friday, and now we're into Saturday. You know, look like we just got into Friday, but now Friday has come and gone. So we're in a new day and in a new dawning. So I just want you to just, like I said, I want you to just come aboard. I have seating for you. I have seating for your, and then I have also the chat room that you can sit and you can listen as I bring unto you the divine word of God. And so we're moving right along. And so I have already posted up to welcome each and every one. I want to welcome, like I said, I want to welcome the guest. I want to welcome my first-time listeners. I want to welcome my Kingdom Assembly. I want to work. Welcome our kinship family. I want to welcome our business colleague and all of you that are listening out there in our podcast radio community. I want to just welcome you aboard. And we're going to have, after the ministering of God's word, we're going to have some good hymns of Zion that I want to bring your way to just inspire you and uplift you to keep going. You know, whatever you might be going through on this morning, know that weeping might endure for a night, but we know that joy cometh in the morning. So we know that trouble don't last always. You might say, Ward, I don't have any money in my bank account. You know, my balance is zero. Well, you know that God can put money in your bank account while you are yet sleeping. God can touch somebody's heart to put money over there in your bank account. He said, Ward, I don't believe that. But I'm telling you, it's God's honest truth. I'm not telling you sitting up here on live radio lying to you. I'm telling you what I know God can do in yours and mine and our lives. God can do that, you know. And I'm just going to share a testimony right briefly, and then we're going to go on into our opening service. You know, on Mother's Day, and that was just today, make what, 6 days ago, almost a week. But it was 6 days ago, it was our Mother's Day. So myself and my son and my granddaughter, we all went out to a restaurant. He carried me out to a steakhouse restaurant. And we got there, I guess, around, I don't know, 7-ish, because it was just tedious trying to park. So we spent probably 30 minutes trying to find a parking spot. So finally, God opened up a parking spot right there in front of the restaurant. I tell you, it pays you, you know, to be a VIP, because with my plaque, I was able to get front row driving spot right there, you know. So the wind was up, it was cool, and we got out the car and ran on rapidly inside of the building. And so we was placed as our designated seat. And so we was now into probably 20 minutes of being there, seated at our place, and we'd already put in what we wanted to eat and everything. And so they come and they brought our little entree, and so we eat on our little snack, our little bread and butter. We dined on that, and so he brought us some more, and I said, well, you know, I don't want to get, you know, stuff with this bread because I'm ready for my steak, you know, I that's what I want, you know. And so so then we got into about almost an hour in, and we still haven't had our dinner brought to us, you know. And so I told my son, I said, well, what is our tab, son? What are we looking to spend? So he said, well, we're right at over $100, you know, and if we include our tip and then our dinner fee, we will be well over into $100 and some odd. So the restaurant began to kind of clear out, and I could feel the coldness. You know, well, as long as people are gathered in a place, then you are somewhat warm. But as the place began to, you know, decrease in bodies, then you can feel, you know, that coolness. So I began to get cold, and I began to get sleepy, and I was sitting at my table nodding. My son said, Mom said, you know, you're getting sleepy. I said, yes, I am. And he said, I said, I hope that they bring our dinner soon. And I said, yes, what time is it? And he began to tell me what time it was. And so now we're almost an hour in, and we hadn't got our dinner. So I told him, I said, well, you know, when I table a guy come back, I want to ask him to, you know, if I could speak to the manager. And so he said, okay. So when he come by, I told him, I said, I want to speak with your manager. He said, okay. So I'll get him for you. And so he brought the manager to our table, and the manager is a young man. He kneeled down at our table, and he said, I heard that you have a problem. I said, yes. And so he kneeled down, and he was listening to, you know, what our problem was. And I told him, I said, well, we've been here almost an hour. I said, we hadn't got a dinner. I said, and I began to get cold, and I have gotten sleepy. And so the manager told me, he said, well, you know, I want you to know this, that today is Mother's Day, and said that your meal is on me. And so now I've already stated that we're well over into $100 some odd. We're over 100, way over into 100, because time you give the tip, you know, for the gentleman that assists you at your table, then, you know, you want to give him a nice piece of money. You know, you don't want to give him $2 or $3. And so that's not the way we roll. And so I wanted, you know, my son and I, we wanted to give him a nice tab, you know. And so we was well over $100. But the guy told us, since our dinner had been delayed, he says, I am going to pick up the tab on your dinner. And I began to get almost emotional. I tell you, it took everything in me to keep myself together. And I just say, my God. You know, I thought the guy was going to come and say, well, you know, we can knock off $5 or $6 or something like that. But nothing of that magnitude that I was looking for this man to say, hey, you know, we're going to pick up your tab. So I just want you to know that God is a God that do those kind of things. You know, when you live right and when you treat people right, and I didn't go to this man, you know, just bickering and telling him, you know, just giving him a piece of my mind. That is not a way I approached him. I approached him with love and kindness. And I told him, I said, well, sir, I said, we've been here, you know, almost into an hour. I said, and I began to get cold, and I began to get sleepy, and I, you know, look embarrassed and nodding here at my table. I said, so, you know, what can you do for us, you know? And he told me, he said, what I'm going to do, sir, I want you to know that the dinner is on me. And saints of God and friends and colleagues, I tell you, I was just moved with just gratitude, because, you know, you don't find those type of people often. We know that there's still some good people on this planet, don't get me wrong. But it's just far in betwixt that you will find someone that tell you, I'm going to pay for your meal, you know, everything that you have eaten, you know. And I told my son, I said, well, you know, we don't want to start in our meal until I talk to this man. God. And so my son said, Mama, our steak is going to get cold, you know. So you might as well dig in, you know, and while we're waiting on him. And so I said, well, okay, you know, but I didn't really want to touch anything until, you know, I had got to talk to him. But my son suggested that we go ahead on and go to dig into our meal. But I just want you to know that God can do those things like that. And I had first stated earlier that you might not have any money in your bank account, but I serve a God that can put money in your bank account. If I can serve a God that, if I ask God, I said, God, I had a doctor appointment, and this was last year, and I really didn't want to go on this appointment, but God tapped me on my shoulder, awakened me out of my slumberness, and said, daughter, said, I want you to arise, I want you to get your shower, and I want you to get your clothes on to go to this appointment. Now, God, that's the first time God ever made me go to appointment, but he did. He said, I want you to go. So I said, yes, Lord. So I got up and began to turn my shower nozzle on, you know, so the water would be of a certain temperature. And so I began to get ready, and I got ready, and I got into my car. And at this time, the car that I was driving at the time had one tie on the driver's side that was slick, had a slick spot on it. And each time that it rained, and if I hit a puddle, you know, may it be on the road or on the highway, then it would kind of make a skid. And so it was raining, you know, it was raining all right. And so I hadn't even began to leave my area, you know, so I was nowhere close to my apartment because it was about a 30 to 45 minute drive. It depends on how fast you can drive. So if you're talking about 80 or 90 miles an hour, you can probably get there in 30 minutes. If you're talking about 65 or 70, then you're talking about an hour. So I told God, I said, God, I need to hit it and quit it. I need to get to my appointment less than 30 minutes. And that meaning I'm going into a total another, I guess you would, it was another city because it was in San Jose. And so you're talking about a 35, 40 minute drive, just you know, driving at the rate of speed that I would be driving and not getting a ticket and not, you know, getting into a crash. But I always pray before I leave home. So I tell God to give me, you know, traveling grace. So God does that. God give me traveling grace because I want to pray and I want to cover me. And not only cover me, but cover those that I come in contact with on the highway and the byway. And so I just prayed and told God to watch over me, you know, and don't let me hurt nobody, and don't let nobody hurt me. Don't let no trees, don't let no debris in the sky or from land to, you know, to harm me. And so, like I said, so God told me to get ready, and so it was raining. So when I began to get ready to approach the highway, it was raining rapidly. It was raining, and so I said to God, I said, God, I said, I need you to stop this rain. That's what I told God. I said, God, I said, I need you to stop this rain. I said, because I got less than 30 minutes to get to my appointment. I'm not even including, you know, trying to park. So that means parking up under the, you know, up under the parking level. I think it's three-level parking that you have, or parking maybe, you know, outskirt on the lot of your apartment, you know, the hospital, clinic, or wherever you're going. And so I was going to a hospital. I mean, well, it was a clinic. It was actually a clinic, but it's a hospital was adjacent. So anyway, so I said, God, I said, I need you to stop that rain for me. So, you know, the Lucifer heard me say this, and so he come bumping his gums. He told me, he says, who do you think you are? I said, God is not going to stop no rain for you. You know, who you think you are? So, saints of God and friends and first-time listeners, I tell you, God let the hammer down on the rain. So it started raining even heavier as it before I prayed. It was just rained moderately, but then God let the hammer down and it began to just pour down to where my windshield wipers was at full speed and it was not removing the water out of my face, you know, fast enough. I mean, you know, it just was not. That's just how heavy it began to rain. I said, God, I said, I see you. I said, I know you're doing what you do because you're God. I said, but God, I said, you told me whatever I ask in your name as your daughter, as a woman of God, I said, that live holy for you every day of my life. I said, you said whatever I ask in your name and believe it, I shall have it. I said, God, and I'm asking you to stop this rain. And saints of God and friends, as sure as I'm sitting here and you are sitting where you're sitting, God is sitting in his heavenly dominion. I got on 101 and I began to drive. I wasn't 5 minutes on the highway. Now, it was raining hard, and it was cloudy. And I had my radio station on, a Christian station. I don't know exactly what it was on, but I imagine it probably was on Caleb because I usually keep the radio on that dial unless I'm listening to something else up in San Francisco. But I had it on a Christian station. And I was just driving. I had my granddaughter. She was my backseat rider, so she was in the rear of the car. And so she's a witness to all of that beside God and myself. She was a witness as this as well. And so, as I have already forestated, the devil said to me, who do you think you are? God is not going to stop the rain for you. So now I'm on the highway. I'm driving to my appointment. And I don't have but about 20 minutes. What will took me 30 minutes, I got 20 to 25 minutes to make it. And so, saints of God, God stopped the rain. Not only did God stop the rain, but just imagine you going into your bathroom area far as where your tub is and where your shower stall is, and you have to pull. You know, you that have shower curtain, you pull your shower curtain back. Well, just think of that as God pulling the curtain back on the clouds. God pulled the curtains back on the clouds, and just like you dream of genie, you look at the sitcom called Bewitched. Think of that. So God pulled away the clouds, and then God spring out the sun, like, poof, there's the sun. And God allowed me to make my appointment, including finding a place to park, including getting up on the elevator and then going to the fifth floor. Now, you got to do all of this in this time that I have, because if I'm late, they're going to reschedule. I've already mentioned to God that I didn't want to reschedule, God. I don't want to be late. And so I don't want to drive in this rain because I need to hit it about 80 to 90 miles an hour to make this drive. I need you to work a miracle right now. And God did just that. God stopped the rain as I asked him to do, right before my eyes. And I licked my tongue out at Lucifer. So I said, uh-huh. I thought you knew so much. I thought you told me that he wasn't going to stop no rain for me. I said, but see, you is just what the word of God says. You is the world's greatest storyteller because you lie all the time. And you are the king of lies. So that's all you do is lie, lie, lie. Be like Tyler Perry said, you are a liar, liar, liar. You don't do nothing but lie, lie, lie. This is what you do. But God showed himself in my life. And see, only when you're living right that God will do these things for you. You got to be living a sanctification lifestyle. But like I said, I just wanted to share that. That's not my message. So I want to get out of that, and I want to get on back over here, and I want to just say a prayer I want to send out a prayer petition for those of you that has lost loved ones, may it be in the last 72, last 48, last 24, last 16, last 12, last 8, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, last minute, seconds ago. We want you to know that in your hour of loss, in your hour of bereavement, that you are not alone. You are not weeping alone, because God has other saints of God. They are your pilgrim friends, your fellowship family from abroad, from around the world, that are crying with you. So we weep with you in your hour of despair. We will rejoice with you in your hour of gladness. But right now, you are in your hour of bereavement. So we bereave with you. We mourn with you. We cry with you. We weep with you. God said we are to be helpers one to another. So if we are to be on the same page that God is on, then we're going to weep with our fellow sisters and brothers when they're going through their trials and their tribulations. So I want you to know that you are not alone. You might say, "Oh, see, what? Why am I not alone? I'm in this house alone. I'm in this room alone. I'm at the mortuary alone. I'm at the hospital alone. I'm in the hospital room where the patient is that just expired. I'm alone." But you are bodily alone. I'm talking about on the spiritual realm. On the spiritual realm, you are not alone, because God has other sons and daughters that are praying for you, are weeping with you. And after we stop weeping, then we ought to pray that God will restore your joy that was lost and restore that joy once again unto your heart and soul. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And let the people of God say amen and amen. Hallelujah. All right, so we're moving right along. So now we're going to go into our opening prayer of our program. That was our prayer opening of the prayer that we sent out for those that has lost loved ones. Now we go into mode two. And this is where each time that we gather on this platform, that we just don't get on just bumping our gum, but we get on in thanking God and acknowledging Him for allowing us this opportunity, allowing us a place where we can come and we can minister and we can congregate and we can fellowship one to another from abroad, from your own castle, from your own mansion, from your own tent, you know, from your own apartment, your condo, from wherever you are over the planet Earth. You can come in your leisure wear, in your nightwear, in your work clothes. Just come as you are and just allow me to minister the divine word of truth unto your heart and to your soul. So right now, without any further ado, I'm asking those of you that will to bow your beautiful heads as we go down in prayer at this time. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for enabling us to gather together in unity, God, once again around the spectrum. Father God, you said before you left that you're going away to prepare a place for us. And when you come back, so upon your return, you would receive us unto yourself. So God, you told us that you're going to prepare a place for us. But until that time is upon us, until that time is appointed and you crack those clouds and you're coming after your bridegroom, which is the church, God, we will continue moving upward and onward in your will, in your way, mounting up from the four corners of this earth, starting from the north, south, east, and west as pilgrims through this barren land. So I'm asking you on tonight, God, to anoint these lifts of clay. It might be it's night here, it might be day where you are, depending on what part of the planet that you are. But where I on my block, it's dark. So it might be day on your block, your corner of the world. But it is night on my block. So, Father God, I just want you to anoint these lips of clay. Enable me to bring a word to those that may, then again, may not know of you in the part of their iniquity. Grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement and words of wisdom to each and every one that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their very heart and soul. Father God, we won't take your praise and we won't take your glory, but we'll give you all the glory and honor that are due unto thee. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And let the people of God say amen and amen. All right. So now we're going to move on in to our live. I want to welcome you to our digital church, a praise and worship experience. This is not pre-recorded, but this is live. Praise and worship. And I know I've put that on my format. I've put it on there twice, but I can go afterward and adjust it. But I just want to welcome you to the old Ship of Zion. This is the program, and the producer is Block Talk Radio. And I just want you to get you a good seat. I have the chat room available for your listening and your sitting pleasure. So I'll just, you know, I roll the red carpet out for you. And God bless you, you and you and you. Hallelujah. And so without any further ado, we're going to take you right now on into our live program. And so our sermon on this morning entitled, The Real Thing, Volume 2. Hallelujah. I want to say it again. Our night sermon or day sermon, whatever you want to call it, it's day and night. It don't make any difference. If we know it's we're living in the now, so may it be day or night. You know, God in the Word, He's called it day and He's called it night. So, like I said, it is night on my block. It might be day on your block, but we're gonna just use night. We're gonna use night, or we can use day. It doesn't make any difference. But I'm just trying to get my point over to you. And so our sermon is The Real Thing. And I'm talking about Christ's genuine love that He's shown you and I and us. I'm talking about loving your brothers and your sisters. I'm talking about physical love as well as spiritual love. So God tell us, He said He wants you and I and us to love our neighbor as well as love ourselves. You know, love those that spitefully use you. Love those. God wants you to love your enemies. So He want, in other words, God wants you to love everybody. So we can't exclude anyone, but we have to love everybody. We don't have to like what they do, but we have to love them. God said we have to love them. So we're not going to get into heaven unless we have those traits. We have to have God's traits. We have to have God's characteristic. We have to take on the character and the characteristic of God. In order to see God, we're going to have to live as God has implemented in His 66 books, from Genesis to Revelation. God said, love your neighbor. And so God says, love your neighbor as yourself. And so that scripture reading is coming out of the law of the Epistle of Matthew 22:39. And so God, scriptures, has commanded you and I and us to be kind to one another. He said to be tenderhearted. He told us to be forgiving. Hallelujah, Jesus, to one another. Even as God in Christ has forgave you and I and us. And we can also go into the law of Ephesians 4:32. In fact, it tells you and I and us to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And that scripture reading, once again, is coming out of the law of Matthew 22:39. And as a neighbor is not only someone who lives near to you and I and us, or work close to you and I and us, but God says anyone we meet on life's journey, especially those in need. So having an attitude of courtesy, care, and concern for others is a basic spiritual principle. It's also the most important guidelines for congenial and happy relationship Indeed, it is even the golden key to vocational success. Hallelujah. God tells us that our purpose for modeling a Christ-like spirit of neighborly love is that we want to obey God, not just to achieve success at work. After all, our supreme vocation as believers is to embody and practice the neighbor-loving character of our Lord. Now, that's the same identical thing that I just said. We have to take on the characteristic of God. What you mean, overseer, why take on the characteristic of God? Because God is a spirit. And if we are saved and filled with the spirit of God, that's how we are existing, is in a spiritual atmosphere. So we are to live accordingly how God has outlined it in the Word. Hallelujah. We are to live as God has implemented us to live. Hallelujah. And so God tell us, he said, let us not grow weary while doing good. So don't get weary about doing good. Don't get weary about giving that panhandler $50. Don't get weary about giving that woman with two or three children, you're giving her your sweater. Don't get weary about emptying out your closet of goods and giving them away to Goodwill, even though Goodwill in return will turn around and sell those. Well, that's how they put men and women to work, is by selling their used and new goods. So we can't, you know, we can't be ugly on Goodwill. But we thank God for Goodwill, because they are putting men's and women's to work. But like I said, you know, don't be weary in doing good deeds. God tell us, he said, while doing good, for in due season, you and I and us, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So you will reap. Hallelujah. You will reap a harvest if you don't lose heart. You know, don't feel like what you did was a strain on you, was a complicated thing that you did. But you count it all as joy, because God said he blesses a cheerful giver. So just know that God is going to bless you for the deed that you rendered, for the glory and honor of God. You didn't do it to be seen. You didn't do it to be heard, but you did it because God told you to do that. God said, be kind, be tenderhearted, long-suffering. Them that's in need, he talks about the widow mother and the orphanage children. We are to be mindful of them. So when they're in need, if we can help, we are to help. Not just sit on your money. If you got some currency that you can spread around and help someone, God wants you to do that, because God is going to bless you. And you know, you don't. The thing of it is, we don't even know how God is going to bless us back for being a blessing to someone. But just know that God is going to bless you equally or more than what you have given. That's the way God works. God loves us when we give and when we be obedient to his epistle books. You hear me? So I want to keep moving on, because I still got a lot to cover in just a short amount of time. And so we know that if you love someone who is struggling with a substance abuse problem, you know that your emotions and their emotions can be like a ride on a roller coaster, up and down. Today, he or she wants help. Tomorrow, he or she is drinking on the high, a drug, down on high on drugs again. Then, to be honest, tomorrow, they're running from truth. But God tell us, he said, that the Holy Spirit helps you and I to learn how to love people like that, even in their sins and struggles. And so God tell us that these are the principles that he has set forth. He says, treat the person with respect. Be gentle when trying to restore him or her in the law, Galatians 6 and 1. But he says, do not do for him or her what he or she can do for him or herself. Don't get in the way of the consequences that God can use to bring about change. Number two, God says, remember that you do not have the power to change another person. So you cannot, you and I cannot change anybody. It's for you and I to minister to that person. And then God will do the convicting. You leave that to God. But God said instead, ask God to help that person become the person that he wants him or her to be. God tell us to reach out in love, to seek God's wisdom in what to say and to do in each encounter. James 1 and 5, then he says, rebuke or be silent in love. God says, depend on him. You and I will make mistakes. But anchor yourself in God's word and continually commit yourself and your loved ones to the Lord in prayer. That scripture reading is coming out of law of Philippians 4 and 6. So God says making some of these choices can help you and I and us to slow down the roller coaster ride of a change in emotions. So God tell us that love helps people even when it hurts. God wants us to love one another as God himself has loved you and I, the bridegroom, which is the church. God wants us to be lovable. God says that God is love. He who abides in love abides in God, and God is in him. So you know that if you love, then you have taken on the characteristic and the character of Christ. If you don't love, then you have not the love of God. And the Bible says that the love of God is not in you. It's not in me either. If I do not love, then I am a liar. The Bible says, if you do not have love, you are a liar, and the truth is not in you, and I in us. So I'm including my own self in this equation. I'm not leaving myself out. I'm including myself as well. You know? So this is not just for a few, but this is for everybody. This is meant for every one of us that are created in God's image. So all of us are created in God's image and in the image of God. He said, male and female created he them. So if we have not love, the Bible says we are a liar and the truth is not in us. And then also, he said that God is love. He who abides in love abides in God and God in him. That scripture reading is coming out of law, 1 John 4 and 16. The Bible tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not ten. God didn't have ten sons, but God gave his only begotten son. That was Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. God did not have two or three sons, but God only had one. And that was the only, I can't even put it in perspective. But God was the ideal candidate. I said like that. He was the ideal candidate that could go our stead. Our mother and our father loved us. Your mother and your father love you. But they could not go in our stead because they were sinful. And my mother and my parents were sinful. They was in sin. The Bible says we was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So we know that God was a perfect candidate because he was sinless. The Bible says God knew no sin, neither was a guile found in his mouth. So God was a designated candidate to go to Calvary Cross for yours and mine and our sin. Even though our mother loved us, our mother couldn't go. Our father loved us, but our father couldn't go. So Jesus was the perfect, ideal candidate. Hallelujah, to be pierced in his side, nails in his hands, his right hand, his left hand, 1 foot placed upon the other. Then they drove large, gigantic spikes from the top layer of God's skin to the very core of God's foot. And the Bible says that they whipped him 39 stripes across his backside. Not only that, but they put a crown of thorns upon God's head. So God was the perfect candidate to go and bear the sins of the world upon his shoulder. That's what God did. He loved us that much that he said, I'm not going to let you go. I'm going to go in your stead. So you and I have to put on the character of God and quit hating on your fellow sisters and brothers. Quit hating on them. When God blessed them, you quit hating on them. When they get a haircut, you quit hating on them. When they get a manicure and a pedicure, you quit hating on them. When they get a new wig, you quit hating on them. When they get money in their bank account, you quit hating on them. When God blessed them with a new automobile, you quit hating on them. When God impregnate that husband, I mean not that husband, I'm devil used to lie, but when he impregnate that wife, that husband and wife are now, you know, pregnant. She's carrying the baby, but they are a pregnant couple. You quit hating on them because God has blessed her, touched her wounds, so now she can bear a child. You quit hating on that individual. Instead, you show love because that same God that blessed him with a car, blessed him with a new home, blessed them with a new baby, blessed them with money in the bank, is the same God can do the same idealistic thing for you. He can work that same thing in your life. So quit hating on your brothers and sisters. When God elevate them in the church, maybe they have been evangelizing. God moved them up to a minister. God moved them up to an apostle. God moved them up to an overseer. You need to quit hating on them people and be happy for them. And you get in a position where God can move you up the spiritual ladder of success. Quit hating on your brothers and sisters and start loving them. Because this is the real thing, volume 2. We're talking about love, genuine love of your brothers and your sisters. And not only your brothers and your sisters in Christ, but your siblings that are in Christ and those that are not in Christ. Even though they did bad things to you, you still have to love them regardless of what they did to you. So I'm talking about love on this morning. I'm talking about love, the real thing. So God says to love your neighbor as you love yourself. You cannot look in your mirror and make your face, put on your makeup, your lipstick, your powder and paint, and say, oh, don't I look good? And then you're hating on your sister at church, one of the choir members. You're hating on the first lady. Excuse me. You're hating on the woman that welcomes the guests to the church. You're hating on them. You're mistreating them. You're talking down on them because they don't look like you. They're not dressing beautiful as you're blessed to be dressed. But you pray for them that God will bless them in a miraculous way. And you will be surprised the blessing that God will bestow upon you. But just loving on your brothers and your sisters. Because, like I said, if you do not love, the Bible says that you are a liar and the truth is not in you. So we don't want God calling you and I a liar. You don't want God calling you a liar. You don't want God calling you a heathen. Because God said when we're disobedient, we are labeled as heathens, just like baby kids. You know those wayward kids that don't mind nobody, don't mind the daycare staff, don't mind if they're going to kindergarten, they little kindergarten teacher, they don't mind them, the instructors. You know, they're just wayward kids because of their home training. you know. And they're only doing what they've been taught, bless their little heart. But they're called baby kids because they do not mind. So you don't want God to label you as a heathen, do you? That's my heathen daughter. That's my heathen son. But you want God to label you as an obedient son. There go my obedient son. There go my obedient daughter. So God will label us according to our obedience. So God tell us to love our neighbor as ourselves. So I'm going to read a little bit, and then we're going to carry on into our second phase of our program. So we know that we are approaching the religious leader. He asked, would you agree that all men everywhere should think of God as love? Excuse me, my throat is kind of dry, so I think when I go up in my tone, then my throat get a little drier. So I'm going to try to keep it as a tone as if I can. I just get so excited when I'm talking about God's word. I just get so excited. But I'm going to try to keep it down so I won't cough, you know, when I get kind of, you know, I just get excited, you know. And so I just want to try to keep it down a little bit. But anyway, so he says that, he says the man's face lit up when the guy says, would you agree that all men everywhere should think of God as love? And so the reading says that the man's face lit up, and he says, that's it. But that's what the whole world needs, the gentleman said. That's what the whole world needs. He says, give God the universal name of love, and we will create a golden cord to tie together the truth of all the religions of the world. And the listener asked, the individual says, was he right? And the guy says, absolutely not. Said, John wrote that God is love in the law of 1 John 4:16, and that was one of our first key scriptures on this morning. John said that God is love in the law of 1 John 4:16. But he implemented, he also recorded Jesus' word that God must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. So we know that God is love, but God is a spirit. He came down here on earth in the form of a baby and in the form of a young lad and then a man. But God is back in heaven, sitting on the right-hand side of the Father, and so he's a spirit. So the Bible says that those who worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. And that's coming out of the law of 1 John 4:24. So that is the way that the truth, God said he is the way, and he is the truth, and he's the light. And that set God above all other gods. Love is not a name for God. Love is God's nature. He expressed it to the fullest extent when he sent his son to die for yours and mine and our sin. So only when we accept Christ's sacrifice for you and I and us will we know the love of the one true God that can bind people together. When Jesus gave his life for you and I and us, in doing all the agony upon the cross of Calvary, he showed the love of God. So we know that God is love, God is love, but love is not God. God is God. So there you have it. So I'm going to read a little bit more, and then we're going to end it. Hallelujah, because I want to bring you some hymns of Zion. So I'm just going to read a little bit more, and then we're going to be moving right along. All right, so like I said, that, hallelujah, Jesus commanded you and I and us to love one another the same way that he has loved us. He says, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love for one another. Hallelujah. And then John 13 and 34 through 35 says, as we love, we are to provide the care and the nurturing and support for our brothers and sisters. This is essential to their well-being and their spiritual growth and development. Paul Famous love passage also say that love is something that grows stronger and ultimately become a physical and spiritual reality that sheds light on true meaning and true being. Love is immutable. Love is genuine and everlasting. Love is the real stuff that life is made of. Love is the real thing. After all of our living, we will see God face to face. And that is, my sister and my brother, the real thing. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for allowing us to come together on this morning from all walks of life and all different denominations. Hallelujah, God, I hope and I pray that I've said something to marinate your spirit and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. And if this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prepositions that you would want the old ship of Zion to go down in prayer on your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence. God's House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. This program has been produced by Blog Talk Radio. Your program has been the Old Ship of Zion. Send your correspondent. Make them attentive to P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. So until we meet again across these skyways and airways, you're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. Buckle up with Jesus at your will because he is people-friendly. So until we meet again, you go in God and allow God to go in you. Buckle up once again with Jesus at your will because he is people friendly. Up next, Hymns of Zion.
I'm gonna stay right here, yeah, yes I am. Right. Wait. y'all do me one favor. Take a neighbor by the hand.
Say one word.
Real quickly, take a neighbor by the hand. Real quickly, take a neighbor by the hand. And say, neighbor.
If I
neighbor.
Could say
oh, one neighbor.
Word.
Yeah.
my time.